Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Faisal. How about you?
Not so good right now.
Why?
How does $2.4 trillion in debt of Canadians sound to you?
Before we get to that, it's going to be a happy Father's Day for you. And I want to see these socks that you've been bragging about. Come on. Before we get to the
okay, so let me tell the story. The kids got together, took pictures of themselves, and then sent it out to a company to make socks for me with their pictures on it.
Yeah.
So I've got some cool socks.
Those are cool.
With my kids' faces are on there. I felt guilty putting my feet inside something that has my kids' pictures on them because I've got nasty feet. But that being said, thank you very much, kids. I really appreciate it.
And I'm saying a little shout out to my kids, Vita and Luca. They got to up their game. Those are pretty cool socks.
Yeah, well, not everybody has the best kids, Dave.
All right, fair enough. Let's get back to the debt. You threw out a big number there.
$2.4 trillion of debt. Mm-hmm. When I read this is the consumer debt for Canada in the first quarter of this year. According to TransUnion Canada, this is a huge number.
Right.
And when you start drilling down to it, you're going to find that there's certain generations that are taking on a lot more debt, multiple credit cards,
yep,
leaving balances on their credit cards, which anybody that does the math kind of shivers when they know how much they're actually paying in interest. Those of us who have stock in credit cards and banks, thank you for your interest payments and processing fees. But that being said, it's not all rosy for Canadians right now. And so we want to chat about this.
Let's get the details. We're joined today by Matt Fabian, who's the Director, Financial Services Research and Consulting at TransUnion Canada. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We gave you a bit of a setup there. Why don't you give us sort of from a high level perspective what your research is telling us about the trend within Canada for debt?
Sure, yeah. We've seen a pretty rapid expansion in terms of the number of consumers in Canada taking on a credit product, as well as the, as you mentioned, the size of the overall outstanding debt in Canada. So we're at about 29.8 million consumers have at least one credit product, so either a credit card, mortgage, or multiple, but at least one. That all in accounts for about $2.4 trillion of debt, which is a historic high, really.
All right. So I suppose the question is, what do we need to be aware of?
Yeah. So let's break it down from a segment.
Because we've got a growing population right?
Yeah. So part of it is the growing population. Yeah. You're right, Dave. But let's dig into this about all the different generations, because usually in a cycle, people that are younger take on a lot more debt to start off their lives, and then they start to pay it off over time. What does the data say to you about which generations have the most debt? Which ones are the most fiscally responsible? Who do we yell at for having bad money management skill set, stuff like that?
Well, so far, there's not really anyone to yell at, but certainly there is a big demographic shift happening in the Canadian credit market. Part of that credit expansion is two things, right? So one thing is new Canadians. So we're seeing record immigration levels over the past 3 years after kind of COVID lockdowns in Canada, with a pretty aggressive government mandate to increase the number of immigrants accepted into Canada. Most of those people are looking for credit. Most of them take on a credit card as their very first product. The good news is many of those people have credit histories in the countries that they came from. So they're not starting from scratch. They have some kind of idea of how credit works. Many of them had mortgages, credit cards. So they're managing actually very responsibly in that sense. But they're definitely part of that expansion. And then the second piece is this demographic shift. So Gen Z specifically, it's the largest segment coming onto the credit market that we've seen in a long time. So 30% of new products taken up in 2023 were from Gen Z consumers. Again, a lot of those being credit cards. They're at the very early part of their life stage. So they're looking for auto loans, credit cards, those types of things. Less mortgages, things like that. They tend to be a bit sloppier in behavior because they're younger, kind of getting used to credit. But when you think about it from a demographic perspective, only about 50% of that cohort have aged into the years where they're eligible for credit. So there's still about another 3 or 4 more years of high volume of these younger consumers coming in. And the thing we know about them is that they're not loyal to banks. They're the first cohort that's completely digitally native. So everything they do is on their iPhone. And they'll switch products and they'll switch credit cards based on rewards, based on incentives. But we do know that they do have a sensitivity to interest. So they are a little bit more financially literate than the generations previous to them at the same age, probably because of their access to online research. But they do prefer to take out things like point of sale loans, buy now, pay later loans versus rack up a lot of debt on their credit cards. They are rolling balances up a little bit. But
Matt, the question I have for you also in this, while you're going through this is not the generation that has the largest amount of debt. They just had the largest amount of credit cards
increase.
Which generation has the largest amount of debt?
So it used to be the Gen X, and they've handed the mantle over in 2024 to the millennials. So millennials now account for about almost $1 trillion of that $2.4 trillion of debt. So they now own the most. And when you think of it, that makes sense, right? The baby boomers are aging kind of in at that life stage where they're deleveraging. Probably most of the kids are out of the house, except for maybe in Toronto and Vancouver where they can't afford a house. But generally, they're out of the house. We're seeing millennials now at that age where, they've got children, they're buying homes. And about, of that $1 trillion, about $980 billion in debt that they've accrued, about 700 of it is mortgages.
And so between the different generations, which ones have the highest percentage delinquency? I didn't see in the report. Don't know if you had that information at the top of your hand. Which has the highest delinquency?
It is. It's Gen Z, because they're kind of learning credit as they go. The rest seem to be okay. But certainly Gen Z, and certainly with the increase in cost of living, with inflation as high as it is, and with interest rates going up, we have seen Gen Z impacted the most. Also, probably because they're in the early earning portions of their careers, they don't have a lot of built-up savings or wealth. So when they get hit with a higher cost of living, that disposable income doesn't go as far as it might for us that are maybe in older generations.
And this is the point, Dave, what a lot of parents, grandparents, will step in and say, why my millennial, my Gen Z family member has been hit with so much debt, so much changes, they can't buy a house, interest rates went up, so on and so on and so on. I want to help.
Right.
And this is where the shift of capital is moving from one generation to the next generation. It's not economically stimulative, it's just paying off debt. That being said, this is where the planning starts to come into place.
Yeah, and it's also pressuring parents and grandparents, right? When they're millennial kids or perhaps the Gen Z grandchildren get themselves into debt and they want to help, sometimes it's at the expense of their lifestyle, right? With resources they need to support their lifestyle.
Matt, what I'm thinking about when we're talking all about these issues is that there's two types of people who are approaching and living in retirement when it comes to this issue that we're talking about. There's a bunch of people that will actually spend their savings, their capital, and help their family members out. Others will increase their debt load to take on at a lower rate or to help their family members out. Are you seeing an uptick of the boomer group, of the Gen X group, who are taking on more debt? And is that to help pay off other people's debt?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. We have seen specifically the boomers take on things like home equity lines of credit, some mortgages, which we thought was curious because why would they get a mortgage at such a late stage in life? And then we thought it might be a refinance type of thing where they're trying to get cash and equity, right? So I don't know what they're spending it on. Your hypothesis makes complete sense to me that maybe they're passing that wealth down to another generation. Maybe they're just trying to conserve cash for some reason. But we are seeing a little bit of an uptick in things like those larger type of things like mortgage refi or HELOCs amongst that group.
And same question, is that boomer group also increasing the delinquencies as well?
Not to the same degree. They're pretty stable. Where we see a little bit of a dent is in sort of maybe that the older end of that, because they're probably already at the stage where they're in a fixed income. So again, similar like the Gen Zs, there's not a lot of wiggle room. They've got that, whether it's a pension or retirement savings, whatever it is, but there's a sort of fixed cash flow monthly. And now with the cost of living going up, that's got to stretch a little bit more. So we are seeing a delinquency there, but it's a small segment.
Matt, we do have to go. I want to thank you for all the input that you're doing with your team. Thank you, and keep it coming, because we'd love to see how the trends are happening.
We've got a seminar coming up where we have to make sense of this. And guess what? Part of that lifestyle is often kids and grandkids. So let's talk about the big picture.
July 16th in Calgary, June 18th in Lethbridge. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
You know, people may misunderstand how their returns are being presented, and that could be fatal for their retirement plan. Join us after the break for discussion around that. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.